place that stops and shares. And he goes to the regatta, he adores the girl next door, cause he's dying to get at her with his mother and knows the best about her. And that's where I'm going to stay. He's all so good, he's all so fun, he's all so healthy, in his body and his mind. You are a respected man by town, the best thing so deserves of me.
Tonight, this particular song, I have to be slightly different because my brilliant accompanist, Bill Shanley, is from Clonakilty in County Cork. So, is there a pivotal time in my life, but now it's turned out that everyone wants to hear it. And wants to know about it. It's a song tinged with happiness and romance. It's called Sunny Afternoon. Would anyone to join in singing that song? After the way to meet her, let's have a This show is about a journey. It's a journey of a very strange twists and turns in it. About myself, my band, my destiny, usual sort of rubbish. But we live in this country, and I just drive around England. I'm a pretty sort of ordinary person, really. I've great affinity to England. And this song was from an album called The Village Green Preservation Society. Was briefly taken up by the fracking movement in Sussex. It's called, and this show has little bits of film clips in it, so it's not meant to have a drink or you can go drinking one, but it's got part of the story content attached to it. But if you have to go to the toilet, I understand. When you gotta go, you gotta go. This first song is called Village Green. Out in the country, far from all the sort of noise of the city, there's a village green. Oh, it's been a long time since I last set eyes on the church with the steeple down by the village green. 'Twas there I met a girl called Daisy, and I kissed her by the old oak tree. Yes, I did. Although I loved my Daisy, I saw fame, and so I left the village green. I miss the village green with all the simple people. I miss the village green, the church, the club, the steeple. I miss the morning dew, fresh air, and Sunday school, and all the houses are rare antiquities. American tourists flock to see the village green. Yes, they do. They snap their photographs and say, "Oh, darling, isn't it a pretty scene?" And Daisy's married to Tom, the grocer boy, 'cause now he owns a grocery. But I miss the village green and all the simple people. I miss the village green, the church, the club, the steeple. I miss the morning dew, fresh air, and Sunday school. And I will return there, and I'll see Daisy, will sit to laugh and talk about the village green. Yes, we will.
Even if the dream goes wrong, still stay for the last song, another night, another night.
great illusion it may be, but always something else to see. Always some different big town to pick you up when you are down. Another day, another shake, malted with a slice of cake. La da da di da di da. Put a jukebox in a smoky bar. Girls stand looking at the stars. She's dressed in denim, wearing shades. And outside is a great highway. She sips a coke, walks away. It's just a moment in the day. All her culture's on display. She might be a dreamer. I guess that I'm a dreamer too. John Wayne, Clint Walker, and Tom Mix are Saturday morning pictures. Even the science fiction of Flash Gordon in his weird mix of futurism and camp medieval costume epitomized American culture to me. Then there were the guns, deliverers of truth, justice, and the American way. Then as I grew up, music took over. Rock, jazz, skiffle, blues, those country songs came to liberate me, the North London growing up in post-war Britain. The music gave me hope and a reason to be, the feeling that I could express myself as a human being. But the cowboys in those old black and white movies seemed to have values. You knew who the good white guys were, you could see the bad guys coming. There was a code of honor that I thought was missing. World, that's even when I was a kid. that I saw in America with my band, The Kings. As I toured America for the first time, I saw the place close up, from the roadside of a dreary bus stop in the middle of nowhere to the big gigs at the Hollywood Bowl, Madison Square Garden. The Kings experienced the highs and lows, but through it all, we retained our individuality. First time I went through American customs, the big fat customs officer looked at me and he said, "Are you a Beatle? Or are you a girl?" I couldn't say anything else. I'm a girl, so I'm a brother. That was the beginning of a not very fruitful relationship. You see, at the height of our success in the 1960s, we came from a band from touring the USA for 4 years, cut off in our prime. When we did return, it was to the small bars and little clubs we had to build our reputation up again. But we toured relentlessly. The stubborn, opinionated North Londoners. Nobody could mess with us.
Fresh past from love. Won't you tell?
They call us illegal aliens. As though we were bouncing off the snake. And as I walk through immigration, they heard me speak, child, and you wait. Hey, buddy, get back in the night, his eyes were full of hate. All these songs were influenced by that noise. There was an optimistic feeling. Girl, I want to be with you all of the time, all day, all of the night. It's okay when you're 18 years old. Girlfriends on the road. A girlfriend once said to me, you have a career as a songwriter, you can live anywhere. The world is in your head anyhow. She was right, partially. But touring relationships are fine when the hotels take care of the housekeeping and you've got a room service. But once the toilet paper runs out and you've checked back into the reality of the hotel, the dust appears on the furniture. The laundry piles up and there's no room service to clear away the dirty dishes. That's when the tenders get frayed and the fights break out. Once, me and this girlfriend tried renting an apartment down in New Orleans. That ended up a disaster as well. See, I can't sleep when I'm right. My brain keeps working, ticking over. The person in the apartment department must have been an insomniac as well, because he kept shuffling around. Amazingly, he was shuffling around as the beat I had in my head, as if he were accompanying me. Then I decided to cast a song for the unknown neighbor, the unseen person above me, listening to the fighting downstairs. Neighborhood's really going down. Since a couple downstairs moved back in town, I never seen what they both look about. But I sure can't hear them when they start to fight. He shouts at her, she shouts back. He slams the door, she starts to back. You know I can't help thinking, I can't. I'm just waiting for you. You know, tours are strange things. Sometimes on tour you fall into situations and you don't know what you're getting involved in. You meet up with some people, you see nice enough folks after a concert, and they say, "You've got a day off tomorrow. If you're in town, come over for dinner with me and the wife." It sounds innocent enough, but it can often lead to trouble. It turned out that the happily married couple in question were a couple of swingers. The husband wanted the unsuspecting member of our crew to have sex with the missus while he observed from inside the wardrobe. Very tacky. That's why it's good to have someone else around to look after you. When I was on tour with the Kinks in the 80s, we had a man called the Big Guy. We called him the Big Guy, actually the Gorilla, when he first came to join us. He was there to protect us from fans, but it was also more important. Protected us from ourselves. In case, my case, a tendency to self-destruct. First of all, there was Big Tony from South London. We called him the Gorilla. After Big Tony died the tragic of cancer in his early 30s, he was replaced by Bobby Sosinski from Chicago. He struggled hard to find a name for him instead of the Gorilla. And after much deliberation, he settled for Big Bob. It was a no-brainer, really. Thank you. Both our great minders have tragically died in their early 30s. Big guys. If one of them had been with me that day in the Orient, I wouldn't have walked down the street or even gone out. They had an instinct for knowing when there was danger lurking. There to tap me on the shoulder and say, "Now don't do it." Everybody's afraid of the big guy called the Gorilla. Wish you could be here today. Now I'm lying in the gutter, though the cop pass and girls with the thief. Now I'm lying staring at the pearly gate. Tony, Tony, you gave me security. You were a minor extraordinaire. I miss you now that you're not here. Terrified and afraid, like a child who's lost his mother. Shivering in the cold old sweat, with my face in the gutter. Bobby, Bobby, you gave me security. Tony, Tony, you did the same for me. But now you're both standing in your mind. I can't believe we're still alive.
You're not there. Yeah, I'm wishing that you're not there.
stole the show, of course. In front of 70,000 people in the Cleveland Stadium, millions on television. We have conquered America. The Tutti Frutti's have made it to the top.
Shut up!
For better or worse, my experiences in Americana made me a wiser person. I've been given the chance to put myself back on the track again. Have I really? When I left New Orleans, as I was taken to the airport for the last time, I asked the driver to take a short detour past the street where I put the shop. These experiences would not stop me from seeing the friendly side. But just the same, I never forget a face. And if one day I should return, vengeance would indeed be mine. Meanwhile, I'd celebrate my origins as a North Londoner rather than an Island. Get shot in your audience and given me a limp, but if not treated correctly, could turn into a permanent voodoo walk. We don't want that, do we? But the next time, though, if I saw that zombie on the street, he wouldn't spook me out as much. I'd recognize him if I saw him coming, and even rewrite an old song called "You Really Shot Me." Then as the song played, he threw his rapping dance along the street, his hip hop dance on the street corner, and I go up to him and smack the zombie over the head with a Fender Telecaster. Then I kick him in the balls as he crumples to the ground. Then I strap one of my brother's amplifiers to his head, turn the volume up to 11, and hit a power chord so fucking loud it would blow the bastard's brains out. Then, as he squirmed around in the gutter, vomiting pus all over his baseball cap, I was shouting defiantly into his groveling, puke-ridden face, "Now don't do that again! In the future, don't fuck with the king, right?"
Yeah.
you so much. Go.